If you'll stand, I'll read you a text scripture. We're going to bounce off of this morning. And three verses, and I'll let you be seated. David wrote, if there's anybody that tapped into the mercies of God and the grace of God, as I've said many times, y'all would have never voted David to be pastor of this church. You'd have never voted him to be pastor of this church because you'd have said, oh, no, he murdered a man, he committed adultery, he did all of these things. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. I'm afraid too many times we qualify our ministers after they become ministers and not before they become ministers. Never mind, that's something else. Let's look at Psalms 116 and 12. David said, you know, after all these great things God had done for him, he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What am I going to give back to him for all that he's done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. I want everybody to see that I'm reverencing God. I'm going to pay. You know, when you get in a bind, you'll make some vows. If you don't, you're foolish because you need to make vows. But sometimes when we get out of the bind, we don't want to pay what we've vowed. So I want to talk about what shall I render unto the Lord? God, we come before you today and truly, Lord, you're so magnificent, so self-sufficient, so Lord, you're everything at all at one time. And what can we do to give back to you? Help us to understand this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to render a couple more verses to you today in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, not as he pledged with his hand, but as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth what kind of giver? The cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us. That's one of those things, those benefits toward me. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good. Everyone say work. So it's still about works, right? He wants you to abound in good works. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. He dispersed abroad. It didn't matter color, nationality, gender, size, didn't matter. Everybody got Romans chapter 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. So the common denominator, Brother M. Bowden, is faith. You got some faith, you got some faith, you've got some faith. So it doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what size you are. Everybody, the common denominator, we all got that. If serving God was based upon intellect, well, some would make it and some would not. If serving God was based upon color, some would make it, some would not, and based upon nationality. But it's not based on those things. It's based on the common denominator of faith, which we all got a measure of. Amen. So faith is the one thing that God is going to measure us by, all right? Not how much money you have in the bank, not your job, not your influence, not whether you're the pastor or a saint. It's by your faith. So I know today is Father's Day, and I know that sons or daughters are probably scrambling around the last minute trying to find a card or something. They're trying to find something to render back to their father, right? You're going to give back. You're finding, it may just be a card, but you're going, man, what can I give my father? I mean, for all the things he's done for me. There was one time I told my dad, I said, there's nothing I know I can give you back other than thank you. I mean, it was, you know, like I read the scripture the other night, render the calves of your lips. Render that praise. So render means to give back or return something in exchange for something received. But, you know, it's like when you have rent and you have a landlord and he says, you can stay there, but for you staying there, I need $1,000 a month. So you're rendering back to him the payment to stay in the house. Whether you know it or not, the world is an exchange place. We're all exchanging things. You exchanged what you could do today to be here today. Because there's other things you could do, but you exchanged that to come here today. And so the Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So the whole thing of life is about exchanging. It's about priorities. All right? So let's go a little bit deeper into this. Assuming you had a good father and a giving father, I mean, what could you possibly give back to him? So David looked up into the heavens. He said, my God, look at the stars and the heavens, and what is man that thou art mindful of him? What shall I render unto God? Lord, let me see what I got in my pocket here. I'm going to render him an iPhone. Well, God doesn't need an iPhone. He could communicate without a phone. He has his eye before there was a phone. I'll give him the keys to my... He doesn't need a car. He don't need transportation. This rendering... See, Abraham rendered to the Lord a tenth of the spoil when he went out to the battle of the kings. He fought like five kings to get Lot back who had been captured. And when he takes all their jewels from them. You know, the Bible does say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So he takes all of the wicked's wealth and he gives back unto the Lord. I don't really know how he received it. I don't know if he took all that into glory, but he gave it someplace. He gave it up. He gave it back. And so we even find that he also gave back his son. He took his only son and he rendered it unto the Lord, and Isaac, and he gave him back unto God, and God gave him back unto him. It's amazing how you give unto God, he gives back unto you. And it was Jacob that got in a bind one day, and he was tired running from Esau. And finally, he was exhausted. He had the birthright. He had the double blessing. It looked like he had everything that money could buy, but he didn't have peace. And so no matter how much money you have, if you don't have peace, it doesn't matter. There's people who commit suicide that have lots of money. They don't have any peace. I'd rather have peace than money. And so... So it is that he said when he got in his bind, he said, Lord, if I'm going to render unto you a tenth of all my increase, if the Lord will be my God and you bring me back to my father's house in peace, not pieces, but in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And so we have this idea many times that we render unto God money. Now, does anybody have a $10 bill in here? Anybody? You? Anybody? Brother, you got a $10 bill? Since you got 100? You got a $10 bill? Wait a minute. I want you to be God. Let me see. You're going to be God. Thank you, brother. You're going to be God. Okay. And I've worked hard. And so you give me health and strength. And you be God. And so God gives me this $10. And I give God back a dollar. Thank you, sir. Have your seat. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I like this. Anybody got, let's see what else I got in here. I got a $5. Anybody got a $50 bill? Oh, y'all caught on quick, didn't you? I got a $20. Anybody got a $200 bill? If you do, come see me after church. Okay, so I want to show you something with this. So this is mine. I gave God back a dollar. Of the 10 he gave me, as if he needed it. So God doesn't need anything you got, but he wants back the one thing he gave you. I read it already. To every man was given a measure of faith. It's not that you shouldn't support the cause, but that's not going to do God any good. So now watch this close. Think real close with me. Because when you understand that I made $100, okay, and just act like I made $100, I'm going to keep 90 of it, and I'm going to give $10 to the cause of God, and so the $90 that I keep equals my works. Okay? Now, some people somehow found a way to get money and don't work. Now, I haven't found that way. I'm still working. So when you work, you know, we work. It's your works. You staying with me? That gives you the $90, and God gets the house of God gets the 10, that the storehouse gets it. And so now the 90 that I kept actually becomes why I work, because it's what I have, but yet that $90 is actually hope, because it encourages me to work, but I can't eat that $90. That $90, I can't consume it, so it's a substance, you see. So without work, there's no hope. See, if I don't work and receive the $90, I have no hope of doing with that money what it will do for me. Buy groceries, electricity bill, you know, buy chickens and dumplings and things like that. So without work, I have no hope of obtaining what I need or want. Therefore, my work is dead and alone unless I exchange it for something else. See, unless I take the $90 and I exchange my works for something else, it's dead and alone. So we have something here. We have works. We have works. Okay, so it starts off with works. I work, and then I obtain this $90, but I can't eat the $90. So the $90 is not really what I want. So the $90 is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. So that this in the natural is what faith is in the spiritual. So that this is the substance of things I worked for, so substance of things I worked for, and the evidence of things not seen. So I hope with this to go get the things that I need and want. But it all started with works and not with faith. And works became the substance of things hoped for. That's called faith. So faith without works, one writer said, is dead and being alone. Faith without this is dead. Being alone. It doesn't do anything. James wrote in 2:14, he said, "For what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother and sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one say unto them, Depart in peace, saith the Lord." Ha ha. "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding that he give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit?" So unless I give him coat, he's still cold. Can faith alone do it? No. But if I give him coat and say, "Be thou warm," that will warm him. And so now it's profitable. There's no profit in faith without works. It's dead. You don't just say, "Give me money." People say it. But give me money. Give me this. You have to work to get it. So faith without works is dead. So he said this in verse 17 again, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works." We're going deeper. So giving God back the material things, materialistic things that he gave you the health and the strength to give it to you is not really what it's all about. He gave you faith. But faith without works is dead. So it's not what you do with the 10% that makes you have a righteous life. Now listen close. It's what you do with the 90%. Now that'll stub your toe. It's not what you do with the 10%, because I know a lot of people that are drunkards and all kinds, and they believe in paying their tithe. They give that 10%. But it's what you do with the 90% that shows the righteousness. Tithing of monetary substance is actually a giving back unto God what he's given you in the form of health and strength to be able to obtain it. But what God wants is a return on the faith. That's what he gave you, was faith, a measure of faith. And so we had all of these Pharisees and hypocrites, oh, I tithe, praise the Lord. And they walk by, and they're dropping their money into the pan as they go by. And you know, they must have been visible. Even Jesus said, look, do you see that? You see that? Those other cats, they gave out of their abundance. Now, that little woman there, she gave two mites. He knew exactly what she gave. I know he's God, but I just think it was click, click, you know, and knew exactly what had been given. So we find that there was a show in that. So Jesus rebuked them in Matthew 23 and 23. I think we got that scripture. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters. See, they were weighing it out. This equals that. Let's exchange this. And it was all a weight system. But he said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They have no weight. You can't. It's not tangible. It's not. You've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment. Okay, so we have judgment. Now, my handwriting's not too good, okay? Mercy. And what? Oh, there it is again. Oh, my goodness. So we find that in giving an offering unto God, these are the three things that matters. Judgment, because when you give an offering to God, even if it was a burnt offering, it was all about judgment, mercy, and faith. Anytime you see there's an offering in the Bible given, it was all about judgment, mercy, and faith. It wasn't about how much, because it could be two turtle doves, it could be a bullock, it could be a sheep. In fact, I showed you where it could be a handful of meal. Judgment, mercy, and faith. All right. So the process of rendering, oh, I got some good stuff here and I'm going to run out of time, I know. The process of rendering unto God goes all the way back to Genesis. When you look into the lives of Adam and Eve, they were all about receiving. They didn't render anything to God. I mean, they were all about receiving. All they got was they got whatever God gave them. Okay, but sin came in, they fell in the garden, so they are the only two that I can think of that didn't have a measure of faith. They didn't have to have faith because God gave them everything. They didn't have to believe for anything. But when they sinned, all of a sudden, faith takes hold. Now you've got to believe that the garden will work. You got to believe that seed will bring forth something. You got to believe that you're going to have a harvest and the thorns and the thistles. All of a sudden, faith had to kick in because God wasn't just giving it to you. So because faith had to kick in, works had to kick in. So he said, you're going to go out there now and till the ground to get the strength out of it. So when you get the works, you have the faith, you'll get the reward of it or the harvest of it. Are you with me this morning? All right. All right. Here we go. We're going deeper. So when they fell in the garden, the Lord fixed it to where they couldn't go back. Okay, he put a flaming sword, lest they go back and eat of the tree of life and live forever, right? Let me tell you something. Once you have ever tasted of the goodness of God, he'll always fix it to where you can't go back. That's right. You just look at it. The Red Sea wouldn't open again so they could go back. Huh? No. And when Cain was despised, he wouldn't let him go back. He sent him out of the presence of the Lord. Every place you look, where you want, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, the one that wants to go back. He makes it so hard, you know, Gomer wanted to go back, and he hedged her way up. So once you've known God, I'm going to tell you, I've talked to too many backsliders. They'll say every day. They're acting like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, but every day in their mind, they know they can't really go back. So we have no record here of Adam and Eve ever rendering anything to God, but they did have two children. So quickly, let's go to Genesis 4 and 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So I got something from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was, now watch, they give professions here. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we have two different professions. Very different indeed, but very necessary. Both of them are necessary to support life. So in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. That's what he was. He was a tiller of the ground. An offering. Okay, and here we go. This is the first offering given in the Bible was Cain. He gives an offering, and he gives of what his works were. He was a tiller of the ground. So he gave of his works. All right. And Abel, he also, of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He gave of his works unto the Lord. And God respected it. Received it. And I know, let me just say this. I know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I understand that animal's blood was shed to cover Adam and Eve's sin and all those kind of things. I'm not discounting that. But what I want to show you is something quite different this morning. Not that that's not true. It's just that this adds to it. Because we have two boys that are both offering their works unto the Lord. That's what I do. I'm a tiller of the ground. I don't have sheep. I have vegetables. So here you go, God. Here's the vegetables. And the other one was a tiller, was a sheep herder or raising sheep. And the Bible says, now watch real close, that he gave of the firstlings. Mm-hmm. The firstlings. Firstlings. Abel gave firstlings. Cain gave of the fruit. Did you catch that? One gave firstlings, the other one gave of the abundance. Here, go give that one to God, give that one to God. And the other one had set aside something to give to God. And the reason I know it set aside, because it said, and the fat thereof. When the prodigal son came home, what did he tell his to do? Go get the what kind of calf? The fatted calf. That was the one that was set aside for God. You see, Cain gave of, and Abel set aside. He gave of the firstlings. That one's God's. Fatten it up. Take real good care of that one. Because when time for offering, that's the one I want to give God. Are you understanding? Okay. And so the firstlings was important, and the fat thereof was important. Because what the fat thereof represents is the best of the best. Say, well, God wants your best. Well, he wants the best of your best. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground of the offering of the Lord, and he had no respect. Watch verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was, here comes the works of the flesh now. He was wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, watch this, if you do well, he didn't say, now if you go get a sheep like your brother did, now if you'll just shed some blood, if you do, he just said do well. If you do well, thou shalt thou not be accepted, meaning you will be accepted if you do well. And if thou doest not well, then guess what? Sin lieth at the door. It's waiting for you. I'm telling you, sin is always waiting for you at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin will rule over you, and you're going to follow what sin wants you to do. And Cain talked unto Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Oh, my God. Instead of slaying an animal, he slays his brother. Abel sacrificed a lamb, and Cain sacrificed his brother. And he sacrificed it in anger. So that tells us that the Lord had rejected him, and what overtook him was the sin that lied in the door, because he did what otherwise he would have never done. These words kept ringing out to me as I read it over and over and over. If you do well, what does God mean when you do well, you'll be accepted? If not, then sin lies at the door. So I found some do well scriptures. Let me show you. James 2 and 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Love. If you love the Lord thy God and the neighbor, he said, your neighbor yourself, all the rest of the law is fulfilled with these two. So if you fulfill these two, you do well. 3 John 1 and 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, faithfully, continually, and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So when you look at these do well types of scriptures, I don't have time to give you any more. It's all about the heart. It's all about a giving heart. It's all about judgment, mercy, and faith. And so Abel had works. Cain had works. But what was the difference? They both gave of their works. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to unclose the mystery. Abel had faith. Cain had no faith. Was it the vegetables? I'm not so sure that it was the vegetables. I'm not so sure that he gave of his works, but what he gave it without was without faith. So that's it. See, Abel takes the flock, the firstlings, and the fat thereof, and he renders it back to God through the works of faith, and God accepted it. Cain takes of his works, of the vegetables and the fruits of his garden, and he gives it unto the Lord, and the Lord rejected it. Why? It was not mixed with faith. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and if ye should seem to come up short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The difference, the reason you're sitting here today and other people are not that heard the same message that night, is faith. Can you say amen? That's the difference. But faith alone without works is what? It's dead. So Abel had peace with God, and Cain opened up the door to sin, and it ruled over him. One had peace, and the other one had chaos. It's all about the faith. And so we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Anytime you give an offering to God, it goes into judgment to obtain mercy, and you're going to do it through faith. It's not about how much. It's about obtaining mercy. But in order to obtain mercy, you only can access mercy through faith, and God be the judge. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by. Are y'all getting this? Justified by faith. Works to faith. Faith to judgment to mercy. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Abel had peace with God because he had faith. by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, somehow in my haste, I think I missed this scripture, and I want to bring it to you. I may have given it to him, I may not. When you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we find this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What this is in the natural is what faith is in the spiritual. Of things hoped for. But the evidence of things not seen, you don't know what I'm going to do with this. You can't see it. You see this, it's the substance, but you don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I know what I'm going to do with my $10. I'm going to academy. What you going to do with your dollar, brother?
I tell you what, it's Father's Day. I'm going to go spend it on this. What do you think I can buy for that?
What can you buy? You can go to that store, 99 cents or something like that. Here you go.
No.
Oh, okay.
Lunch on me this week.
Okay. Well, I'll buy you lunch. Thank the Lord. Nobody has a $100 bill, huh? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. See, you wouldn't pay me if I didn't do good. Right? You'd fire me. But this is the proof that I must have done good, or I wouldn't have this. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from the things that do appear. Let me tell you, what you see today is not how anything was made. It was made from things that do not appear. Now watch verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. That's the difference. That's the difference between Cain and Abel's sacrifice. It wasn't really a lamb and a vegetable. It was faith. See, if it would have been the other, it would have said, because Abel offered a lamb. That's not what it says. What it says here is, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith was what made it excellent. Faith, it could have been the reverse. Without faith, you can offer the lamb. It doesn't matter. It's got to take faith. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. What did God give every man? Do you understand what I'm trying to teach you this morning? Do you understand what I'm trying to teach you? He gave him back what God gave him. God gave every man a measure of faith. That's the gift of God. And he offered his sacrifice back with faith. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Faith keeps talking. Faith keeps working. Beyond the grave. Hallelujah. There are prayers of mothers and fathers that will go beyond your lifetime, that will still go to generations and generations and keep coming up before God. If it was all about the sacrifice, it's dead and gone. But faith is a living thing. It is alive. It is forevermore until he comes back. Then you won't need faith anymore. But until he comes, Paul put it this way, if the dead don't rise, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's going to take faith to rise again. So whatever you offer to God, I appreciate that a lot of people have the mentality they're going to bring the preacher this. I'm glad y'all don't have that mentality. I'd be this big around eating all the pies and the cakes and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad y'all understand this, that what we need to offer God is not something you give to me. It's something you give to him. And the best thing you can do for me is be faithful to his house and come hear his word. For faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what can I render God for all of his many benefits? I'm going to tell you what it is. Faith. Faith. faith, faith. That's what you can render God. Give God back what he gave. Just believe, only believe. If thou doubtest nothing. You see, when he talked to him, he didn't say, if you'll give me a lamb, if you'll give me this. He said, just believe. Do you believe? Oh, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He's looking for a return on faith that he can do all things. Your situation this morning, let me close with this thought. Your situation this morning may look dire. It may look like it's not going to work out, but I'm telling you, you still got to believe. If you doubt, then you're not pleasing God. For the Bible says, what pleases God? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so that's why he was wroth with Cain. That's why I know he had no faith, because he was angry with him. He was upset with him. He had no faith. But unto Abel had faith, and it pleased God. So if you want to offer anything to God, offer it with faith. And I want to tell you, when you offer it with faith, he brings it into judgment. He looks at what you're giving him, and this is the result, my brothers and sisters, is mercy. It's the mercies of God. Every time they gave an offering, even in the Mosaic law, it was to obtain what? Mercy. That's why they gave the offering, was to get the mercies of God. God brought that offering into judgment to get so that they could obtain mercy. And it's no different today. We have access to his judgment through faith. But I'm going to tell you something. Faith is something that you have to do some works. You say, well, what do I have to do? Let me tell you something. Living for God is not just folding your hands and waiting for God to bless you. I said this before, and I'm going to tell you, it's the same principle in living for God. I had a Vietnamese lady come into my office the other day, and I said, your parents here? She said, oh, they're trying to get here. She said, they're 70-something years old, 70-something, trying to leave Vietnam to come here. And she said, their visa, something happened, it was delayed, it was a big deal. She said, but we're going to get them here. I said, well, why did you come here? She said, oh, she said, where I'm from, you work really, really hard, and you go nowhere. America, she said, you work really, really hard, you go somewhere. Faith is just like that. If you don't put the works into it, you don't go anywhere. But I'm going to tell you, if you get up in the morning and you pray, if you got a prayer on your lips day and night, if you're witnessing to somebody, you're bringing up the name of Jesus, you're reading your Bible, and you work at this thing, the work, the fruit of the, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, it takes work to get fruit. You work at it. And when you work at it, it brings faith. And faith pleases God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. God bless you. You take a quick break, and we'll be back at 10:30 for morning worship.